Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We are doing Halloween episodes in a Halloween season. Spooky, scary skeletons getting it done. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Robert Clark Chan.
And we are not joined by TV's Gina Ippolito, but don't tune it off just yet. Come on, everybody, give it a chance.
Don't
turn it off. I know I said tune it off, but like, don't tune out, and don't turn it off became don't tune it out.
He's probably seeing vibrations again, Chan.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
the week I'm having, it wouldn't surprise me if sound becomes visual. I'll just say that. That being said, you just heard his voice. He's podcaster of the millennium, the hardest working man in show business now that James Brown is no longer performing. Delvin Cox is with us today. Delvin, how are you feeling on this night?
Feeling pretty good, you know, now that James Brown is no longer performing and he's also dead.
That's what stopped him from performing.
I guess that'll stop you.
We can't be entirely sure that he stopped performing, only that no one's seen him perform in some time.
That's correct.
Because if there's anybody, I believe, could continue on, Anno Domini, is it? No, that's not right.
I was just saying before we started recording here, I've been doing a rewatch of The Sopranos, you know, a show from 25 years ago, watching it with completely different eyes than I saw it 25 years ago, seeing a lot more of the warts on it, seeing all of the filler episodes, recognizing which actors are good and which are not as good, and sort of just really, it's a very different experience. And I'm curious for the two of you and the people at home, hitting us up on, you know, Discord, Threads, whatever you're going to do. Like, are there any TV shows you went back to after a long time away, and did you have a very different experience watching it? That is the thing I'm very interested in, like, the concept of right now. Have either of the two of you done that?
That's a good question. I go back to watch a lot of old TV shows. Like, just recently I was watching The Wire, and yeah, that show's still really good. That show, like, really holds up a lot.
I fell off in season 2, but I hear it's very good.
Yes, very, very good.
It's easy to fall off because it's so tonally different between seasons. But like, if you're ready for that, it's actually pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? It would probably have to be 24. Good and point. I love 24. 24 is one of my favorite shows.
Same.
But based off the political climate of today... It's kind of hard to root for Jack Bauer.
You mean like grabbing Islamic people off the street and then torturing them to see if they know anything?
Yeah, it's kind of like,
it slaps a little different in 2025.
It feels a little different. Like, it was all funny games watching it when it originally came. Like, now it's like, this is like really right-wing coded. I don't know how I feel about
that. It always was a right-wing show. I mean, let's not pretend it.
100%.
Yeah. But it was palatable for a modern audience. It's a hard tone to get right, and they got it as right as you can, I think, with that show.
Some of us recognize that it was right wing bullshit back when it was right wing bullshit then.
Yes.
Yeah, but those would be
not gonna say who. Not gonna name names. But I think you can feel me judging you two.
Yes, you're correct.
I mean, Chan's that's right. Fine. To be fair, Chan gets mad at me when I say the concept of money is fine.
You know what? I do get a little irked, but that's going to be what it's going to be.
That's,
well, how do you feel about Scrooge McDuck?
That fucking capitalist pig duck.
You know what? We made guillotines for people like Scrooge McDuck.
Just swimming in money.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying, like, that's what separates me and Chan.
Straighten out corkscrew dick with a pair of tongs, motherfucker.
All right. All right, welcome back to Leftist Talk. This is
how come you get MRA and I just get Leftist Talk?
Well, to be fair, you get Leftist Talk with Comrade Chan. That's what you get.
There you go. And I'll make a show called Black Like Me with Delvin.
Delvin, you're never going to convince me you don't already have that show. Anyway, we're talking about this show I've never heard of before called Space Goofs from I was shocked when I found out what year this came out. I really thought, based on the music and the animation style, that this was like a mid-aughts, like 2004, 2005, but it was not. It vibes like the 70s, 70s animation to me, with a little of that Ren and Stimpy flair thrown in. So the fact that it came out in 1997... And correct. I've never heard of it before. Was a little shocking to me.
I've never heard of the show till y'all mentioned it to me.
Yeah, it's I think it flew under everybody's radar. It feels like a Ren and Stimpy knockoff because the director, one of the directors, unclear. It wasn't created by him, but I feel like one of the main creative forces behind it is Bob Camp.
I saw Bob Camp's name in there. Yeah,
Succeeded. John Kay, Ren and Stimpy, like they got six episodes in, they fired him, and then Bob Camp just basically ran the show after that. So, like, yeah, strong Ren and Stimpy vibes. I guess adult humor, like air quotes adult humor.
I don't know. It wasn't as nearly as edgy as Ren and Stimpy, I'll say that.
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't.
No. But also, it's French, and I don't know what that means. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what a French children's cartoon, if you say a French cartoon, if it means anything, in the way that, like, if you say an American cartoon, the fuck, that could mean 10,000 different things. And from France, you have was that fucking Ladybug show?
Yeah, Miraculous Ladybug. What, Inspector Gadget was a French show. The Smurfs were French.
What is that show? The Rabid Show. Surprisingly good cartoon.
That's fun. Okay.
I had to watch so much of it for a period of a couple years when it was a big deal with my kid. And I wanted to be mad at it, but like the gags were all solid and like it was just like genuinely funny. So I'm like, oh shit.
The Rabbids don't get enough respect because every project they're involved with tends to slap, and then everybody's surprised every time. But like the fact it keeps happening, maybe it's time to put some respect on the Rabbids' name.
Maybe.
That's true. You know,
I feel the same way about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like Cards on the Table. Version? I was not the hugest fan of the OG cartoon. Every succeeding iteration that I've run across, and again I've had to run across most of them often because for a period my kid would be into it and I just had to watch it, almost all the rest of them are really good.
Interesting.
Genuinely entertaining. I'm like, shit, man, you didn't have to. All you had to do was like have some turtles punching some goats and there you go, just print money. But
the 2012 series is fantastic. I stand by that.
Yeah. It so is the really 2016. The current one is real solid.
Yeah.
You know, you're reminding me right now, and Delvin, we've got you on the show. Tell us your opinion on Beast Wars.
It is fucking awful. See, this is coming from a major Transformers fan. I'm a huge Transformers fan. Beast Wars is my least favorite Transformers series, and I have a bunch of Transformers stuff in this house right now.
Sure. I mentioned it, and I'm asking your opinion. I honestly didn't know your feeling on it, and I approve of your feeling on it. But we have a lot of people in our audience who are giving us a lot of flack, saying that somehow in all of Beast Wars, the two random episodes that we chose, we've watched two episodes of it now, and they were both some of the wildest garbage we've ever seen in this show's history. And we still get people up in our mentions being like, Beast Wars is good, actually. Never mind. Like, after we watched the first episode and it was terrible, one of the worst pieces of crap I've ever seen, they said, no, you just picked a bad one. So we picked another one, and it was the worst abomination of a show we'd ever seen. People are like, no, 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 you keep picking bad ones. And I'm like, well, if we keep picking bad ones, maybe there's a reason why. But people insist that not just that Beast Wars is good, it's like elite. And I just don't understand.
The thing about Beast Wars is, as the show goes on, it gets better, but the animation doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the problems with it, but the plot of it like gets really good. Like when they start touching on the G1 stuff and starting to add the stories together. Beast Wars is like a series that should be remade. And I think it would work a lot better. Like how they did the Netflix had the Transformers series for a little bit period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Beast Wars would probably do good if they did that. But the way it is now, like, ugh, it is not fun.
So there you go, people. We had on another person who's telling you your show is not good.
Nah,
I mean, we know that Delvin doesn't like it. And the fact that you pimped him out to back up your opinion doesn't count for a whole lot. I mean, I agree. The show is trash. But yes. The way you went about this, yeah.
Chad, I don't know what you're talking about. I had no idea what Delvin's opinion would be when I asked that question.
What he did was, he said, here's my black friend, Delvin. Watch, he agrees with me. I respect it.
You get that a lot, do you?
Yeah.
No, I feel that.
Anyway, Space Goofs. This is a Halloween-esque episode. It's two different stories. And the first one, that second one gets wild, I'll just say.
Oh, yeah.
This first one, though, is why we're here. Count Dracula. And the second half is called First Love. Now, my first note is like, as soon as the animation started, I go, oh, this is from the 70s. And then as soon as the music started, I go, oh, this is from the 2000s. And I was wrong on both accounts.
I have some info for you on that.
Yes.
The creator of this show, I'm going to try to say his name. Jean-Yves Rabonne, I think it's called.
Jean-Yves. He created,
I know him. Because he created another popular show that people probably know him mostly for, Augie and the Cockroaches.
Mm. I feel like I've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's like a late 2000s show. I know, and when I saw the art style for this show, I'm like, oh, this looks like Augie and the Cockroaches.
Really?
So I Googled, like, sure enough, this is the guy who created that show.
Huh, okay.
Same art style and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm good with that. I approve all these messages.
I would be good with that if this cartoon weren't fucking garbage.
Okay, hold on a sec. I didn't hate it as much as all that.
I am not at all surprised.
My problem with the cartoon, and I guess this is just us being who we are. Since we started way in the middle of the series, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, so I had to Google.
Hold on. The goddamn theme music tells you what's going on.
Yeah, I heard that, and I still didn't know. Could we play a little bit?
Here's the thing. It's by Iggy Pop, so...
Yeah, I was just jamming. I want to listen to it. They're like, it's Iggy Pop. This is a joint.
Five little monsters were riding through space. The spaceship broke and they fell into space. They gotta get out, but they don't know how. So they're waiting and waiting in a creepy, creepy house.
What more do you need to know, man?
It's five aliens who crashed. They're stranded. They don't know where to go, so they live in a creepy, creepy house. So
what they do is, because I looked it up, they take shelter in the attic of the house. And the house is for rent. So the people that are coming in are trying to rent the house.
Okay. Okay. You know what? So, that is helpful because I was kind of wondering, like, how does this work?
That was the part that was confusing me. Like, why do these people keep coming in this house?
Well, yeah, it was like Witch's Night Out when she lives in the house and then the people were coming to throw a party just in the house.
Yes. Yeah. So the aliens are trying to get home and get rid of anybody who comes in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the show's kind of plot is.
One of the biggest issues I had with the show is I couldn't tell any of the characters' like personalities apart. I didn't know which one was supposed to be which. And maybe this is episode 26. Maybe I'm supposed to just know by now.
No, like there's the fat guy who only wants to eat. There's the brainy guy who's real smart. There's like the weird two-headed guy.
Who has no discernible personality.
Yes.
I mean, he's like Steve Buscemi. He is the Steve Buscemi of the group. If you look at Reservoir Dogs, you're like, oh, right, that's the Steve Buscemi guy.
Got it. Okay. And then there's the orange one who's like got weed eyes the entire time.
Is that the guy that I'm thinking of? I think that's
that's the Steve Buscemi guy.
That's the Steve Buscemi guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks like he's just strung out the entire time.
Yeah. And yeah, the guy who's like, I hate everything. That is as deep as this cartoon goes.
The guy who likes to eat everything isn't that much fatter than any of the other ones. I mean, like, it was hard for me to like remember.
Except that he says, I'm really hungry, and the other aliens go, you're always hungry. And they mentioned it enough times, I was like, all right, I fucking get it.
Yes.
And apparently I was the only one that got Delvin probably got it.
I got it, 100%, yeah. Like, this is the fat one.
Yeah.
Then he got mad because it was somebody ate his food. Yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Also, the first episode is called Cregula or something like that.
Count Cregula. Dracula.
Count Dracula. When I first saw it, I thought it said Cracula. I'm like, this is a whole different episode.
Yeah.
This explains a lot because this guy looks
just
like a crackhead.
No, kids.
Oh boy! And you know what? Hell, maybe that is it's a pun in French. Grac might be a thing, and they're like, oh yeah, Dracula. In English, does not translate. Even though the Wikipedia says that it's a pun on Count Dracula. I was like, a pun actually has to have another meaning, and this one does not. So.
Well, they just changed one letter. That's a pun, Chan. I'm sorry. We're introduced, not to the aliens, we're introduced to Count Dracula first, as he tries to attack a woman and a grandma in the park, and she just annihilates him with just, like, heavy violence.
Well, he wakes up, No, that's right. He does.
No, not yet.
Yeah, it opens up where he just directly attacks her with no contacts or nothing at all.
Nothing.
He just beats the shell. Like, okay, that's how we're starting off some.
All right.
Randall lady beating up a crackhead. Like, okay, let's go.
So this is our big threat of the episode, getting beat ass by Grandma Witherspoon here in moment one.
This is not Beast Wars. It's not like there's an extended conflict that we need to be aware of.
Yes, this is better than Beast
Wars. That I'm aware of, at least, yeah. I mean, look, tomorrow's Halloween, and my first thing I noticed, as soon as the alien started talking, I'm like, oh boy, we got some superstar voice actors here. Immediately recognized Charles Adler and Maurice LaMarche. From there, then I looked at the credits. I assumed I was going to recognize like one or two more names, and I didn't. But those two are such bright, shining lights. It's all you need.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a French show. So, you know, they just brought in some hired guns, did the thing, moved on.
Yeah.
Also on the show, Jeff Bennett, who's the voice of Johnny Bravo.
So okay, that's cool. There you go. Another superstar. I just didn't recognize him. Yeah. Fantastic. So the blue guy who loves food is being told to respect Halloween. Or I don't know. There's a whole thing. It didn't really go anywhere, so who cares? He goes into the kitchen and wants to eat because that's his deal. And his strawberry jam is empty in the fridge. And then they pull back to reveal something that was not shown in earlier shots, which really annoyed me. which is that now it's all over the floor and leading out the door as well.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Craculated.
It's
craculated.
There are so many things wrong with this show on a technical level, on like a storytelling level. I felt a little bit like that that quote from Idiocracy. It was like, we don't want to just like have movies about farts. We want to like know why the butts are farting. There's blood leading to this door, but since we already reveal that it's just strawberry jam, like, oh, you've made it not interesting. You have taken an interesting thing and made it uninteresting,
right?
Which is awful. Like, why would you
spoil the gag before we even did the setup?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'm like, well, like we learn that it's because, you know, this vampire is like a dipshit and he doesn't like violence, which is why he gets the shit kicked out of him at the beginning. But it is a weird reveal where, like, you should introduce the character and say, like, he's such a fucking pussy. Look, let's send him out in the world. He gets beat up by a grandmother.
Count Dracula, you are the last vampire on Earth.
Did not mean to do that.
Yeah, but it fits the moment because
it did.
To be fair, so our heroes, first off, one of them said they recognize there's a human in the house, and they go and they make a reference to Long Pig, and I thought that was great. What a wild ref to get in a kid's cartoon.
It seemed out of place.
Very much it did, but I loved it.
But also because it is French, like, sure. Like, yeah. It probably tonally made more sense in the original.
Yeah, and then they go and they just check their security cameras, which is like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. And they find out that there's a coffin downstairs, and waking up out of the coffin is Count Dracula and his pet bat, who seems to be like his agent, his producer.
Yeah, and again, like, they should have made it a little more clear because he looks like a sidekick, but indeed he is the one telling him, you know, like, you got to get your shit together, man. And all they had to do is like say, like, oh, you're a grandpa vampire, yes. Or, you know, you're like some sort of just two lines to explain why they have that relationship when visually they should not have that relationship.
Well, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, because like the bat was apparently a minion of his father, who was a vampire, his sire, and they're all gone. He's the Count Dracula's the last vampire on Earth. He's super old. He can't do it anymore. He doesn't want to do it anymore. Obviously, given this particular setup, you would think that our heroes would try to help Stella get his groove back. And try to, like, right? Isn't that the obvious setup that we're going for here? Like, they got to get him remotivated, which is also a wild thing for a kid's cartoon.
Well,
but it's also not the direction we're going.
Not like even a little bit.
The aliens thing is whoever's in the house, they want to get him out of the house. And to be fair, this is episode 26. So there have probably been a lot of, like, wacky reasons for things to show up in the house. So, like, okay, fine. There's a Dracula in the house and you got to get him out. But it defeats the conflict before you even get it started by making him the weakest, worst vampire. So like their reasoning for getting him out, they're beating up on someone who's already really easily beaten up.
That's the thing.
As you say, yeah, it would have been interesting to be like, oh God, you're so weak. Maybe we could, like, yeah, help you get strong so you can feel well enough to leave the place. But no, they're,
I kind of dug the reason why they was trying to get him out. And it was because they weren't trying to get him out. It was because the other one, the fat one, was mad he ate his jam. So he went up to him to confront him about the jam and then got bit and turned.
Oh, well, did he get raped? I couldn't tell because it just cut to black instead of showing.
He bit him on the head, and then he went back and bit all the other aliens.
Yeah. Here's one of the things that I also don't understand, and maybe it is a French thing. Maybe it is a what's the dude's name? Jean-Yves, whatever. A specific thing to him, but like, instead of scene transitions, or there are scene transitions, and they cut to black and go to the next scene, which in a propulsive kinetic cartoon just kills the rhythm.
Yes.
So, you know, like,
it's jarring.
He gets bit, and then we just cut to black. And then we cut to him going to sleep in a bathtub, which I guess is as close as he has to a coffin. And then we cut to black. And then he wakes up, even though they were already asleep when he went to bed.
Right.
Yes.
There was no need to do that. Or like the timeline is weird. Then he wakes up and then, you know, they cut to black again, insinuating that he has bitten all of them. But they did it in such a weird, obfuscating, I'm going to say obtenebrating way, that doesn't help the rhythm of it. It doesn't help sell a gag or sell the story, tell the story in a coherent way. It just gets in the way. And it's like, why would you do that? You're just making it worse for no reason.
I am curious. Did standards and practice tell them like, hey, you can't show the vampire biting the aliens?
I thought that, but even if that were the case, the transitions to black still terrible. Are a problem. Yeah.
They're really terrible.
Well, a couple of things here, because all that does happen. There's a moment before that where Count Dracula has a lollipop sticking out of his mouth, and it just, to me, looked like he was smoking a joint, which I thought was a choice.
I mean,
he's got this joint in his mouth for like 30 seconds of scene. And then finally somebody's like, and you have a lollipop, and he pulls it out and it's a lollipop. I thought that was kind of funny because they did have my brain going the wrong way.
Yeah. The whole thing where he's a child in an old man's body is, it's weird, man.
Well, and this is okay. So we missed, you know, plot number one, we've screwed up on, but now we're in a situation where, he turns the fat one, who turns around and turns the other four, meaning we now have a team of alien vampires, and we have a team of alien vampires. Now, there's a lot you can play with by taking your entire squad, turning them into vampires, and having them deal with the reality of that. You know, what do they do as vampires? How, you know, there's a lot of very good comedic possibilities you could do with that. But Nira's, and tell me if I'm wrong, they don't do anything with that premise whatsoever.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
Why would you do that?
Like, they made a very strong choice halfway through the episode and then just sat on it.
Like, look, it's an 11-minute cartoon. So, you know, often when we're in this situation, they just go like, bam, 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 bam. Thing happened. They don't have that excuse this time. There are not a lot of things happening. There's plenty of opportunities for jokes. There's plenty of opportunities for story. There's plenty of opportunities for anything, and they do nothing with it.
They did give me an Army of Darkness reference, though, so I was happy about that.
I think it annoyed me more, particularly because the end does a great joke with it, and if they would have built upon it, it would have been funnier. But it's like, oh, no, we're not doing any of that. We're just not going to reference that they're even...
Hold on. When you say an Army of Darkness reference, do you mean...
Okay, man, you've been drafted into the Army of Darkness.
That's right.
That's not a reference to the Sam Raimi classic.
Well, of course, that they're referencing the movie, though.
They're absolutely not. That's just, you're a vampire now, so
that's
welcome.
Just say
you don't think that Army of Darkness, which had come out a few years earlier than this, was not completely in the writer's mind when he wrote that line. I think you're insane.
No. Insane. There's no other thing to connect it to Army of Darkness.
Except it's the name of the movie. I mean, look, it's not as good as the Phineas and Ferb episode when Dr. Doofenshmirtz builds a metal hand and then looks and says groovy. That sent me off. I'm not going to lie.
That's legit. This thing is not that. They just happen to be an army, and they happen to be the sign of a vampire who's dark. Vampires are dark.
Well, we're in Act 2 now of this cartoon, and this is where you're supposed to, like, have fun. You've set up a situation. Now you play in that situation sandbox for a while. But instead, Dracula takes the team on a training mission outside. He grabs, I did not understand this. He grabs a granny in a wheelchair to, like, ostensibly bite her and drink her blood, but he ends up pushing too hard and then loses momentum and then flies away.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I didn't get it.
Me neither. Like the gag where he's going too fast and she hits the brakes is fine. Although I didn't see her do anything.
I did see her do it. Yeah.
And he didn't like it felt like he was being pulled along, but like is this a motorized wheelchair?
I think that's what it was supposed to be. I thought it was supposed to be a motorized chair, and she was going fast in the chair, and he couldn't hold on. But
all right, no,
it didn't portray that well.
Straight up, the animation is bad.
Really bad.
The art is bad. It did not convey that, and nothing. There was no handle or like a little joystick to suggest that she was doing anything other than being on it, and like maybe it was the vampire that was doing it. Who fucking knows?
That's it. So if he's able to push that hard, is he a pushover or not? That's like, you've already set up that this character is weak, and now, as near as I could tell, it's a situation where his own strength betrayed him for being too strong.
Yeah. I didn't. Talking it out now, it is clear that the intent was that her motor, she was messing with him, and it was her motorized wheelchair that did that. But man, it did not read.
I am curious because I'm not sure. Was that the same lady from the beginning? Correct.
I don't think it was, but maybe.
Okay, I'm looking at her now.
The first lady didn't have a wheelchair.
Yeah, this lady's wearing orange with a yellow ruffle around her neck. Let's see. The old lady at the beginning was... Nope. She's got a cane. She's wearing a purple dress, purple hair. Different lady. Completely different lady.
Okay.
So he just likes to chase after grannies. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I got it. Which is a fun...
You gotta go for what you get. So, but then I have this like head scratching moment, and then he's back on the street getting bullied by a kid in a devil mask. And what was really wild is it's very clearly like a big old plastic mask, except the lips on it move when the child is talking.
I mean,
demonic.
It's a pretty good mask.
Yeah.
It's a great mask. That's like Halloween 3 level quality mask. But then, like, we have an itchy and scratchy moment when this show does not present us that these moments should happen, because the child, it says, I'm going to prank this old vampire-looking guy by taking a military rocket, putting it between his legs, in his crotch, lighting it, and launching him into the sky, where he slams into the front of an airplane, slides down the side, gets sucked in through the engine of the airplane, falls to the ground, and then gets run over by a train. And it was a level of violence I was not prepared for in this show. This cartoon did not cause me to think it was... What do they say? They didn't say it earned this violence, but yes. It is not a show of this violence that they just did it, and it was too much.
Special kid. Hey, sometimes you gotta do it. Good job, kid.
You do have to earn that, though, because like this would make sense in, you know, a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoon.
Yes.
But that's not what this is.
Right.
And if you do that, like, it should be the fault of the vampire. The vampire should be trying to do something bad and then getting his comeuppance. In this case, like, yeah, he's just getting bullied and gets the shit kicked out of him.
He's literally just standing there.
If nothing else, you just, like, make him be, like, a jerk who is completely ineffectual. He's like, oh, you know, like, I can't stand immigrants. And then he gets the shit kicked out of him. Look, he was a vampire. It was a different time 300 years ago. But no, he's just like a sad sack. So there's you know, it's hard to laugh at the violence, the extreme violence that is done to him.
He doesn't deserve it.
The little bat guy's being an asshole to him too. If like, he has no friends. Nobody to help him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And that's the end of Act Two. That's as much playful sandbox joy as we're going to get out of this episode. On to Act Three, our resolution, where Dracula is depressed. Oh, which is also his birthday. I know I mentioned that earlier. It's his birthday, which makes this even goddamn sadder. And he does not want this life. And then our alien friends are like, well, don't be sad on your birthday. And they go to the kitchen. They make him a cake. He eats the cake and he goes, is there garlic in this cake? And they're like, yeah, we put garlic in all our cakes, which it's like a Ren and Stimpy bit. But again, like, we haven't set up anything like this. So it just feels like a complete non sequitur from left field, like that Uber violence a moment ago.
Yeah.
But then to make it even weirder, the garlic cake turns the vampire into a human being. The bat quits because he says, I don't have to do this anymore. I can be a human. At which point, Dracula opens the front door to go outside, gets hit with sunlight, and it turns to dust and dies. And all our heroes get hit with sunlight and turn into sand, but they're still able to maneuver themselves to try to find a solution in a book or something.
Wait, what? No. The vampire.
Dracula, he's fine.
Yeah, he lives.
Oh, I thought he died there.
No.
No, we died. We mentally
died. I died inside. Okay.
Yes. He was fine. He opened the curtains like, hey, I can finally see sunlight now.
Oh, okay.
Off the aliens. But you they were still alive.
I turned to right and he was gone. And I guess I just assumed he was dead.
I mean,
he walked out the room.
He ran off in joy into the sunlight.
Okay. Well, he gets a happy ending then.
He does. And man, I just wish it were earned. Like if you had told me at the beginning, like if he was like, oh, the wish is to be human again. And you know, the little guy's like, no, you son of a bitch, you got to be a vampire. And he's like, I hate this. And then he gets the shit kicked out of him. Like there's some pathos there. You're like, oh, okay, man, I really wish this guy could just get to become human. But there wasn't. Yeah, the thing happened. I'm like, oh, okay, well.
That could also be a plot where our heroes try to help him become human again by, like, looking into it and researching. I don't know. There's another plot line you could have followed there that wasn't this.
Yeah, this show doesn't believe in plots.
No, and you don't need to, but you need to believe in something. And this show doesn't. There's no reason for this fucking show to exist, man.
No, and it had a lot of episodes, too. Like, I don't know. Look, I didn't hate it, but I'm not going to say it left a huge impression on me. I'm not ready to start a Space Goofs podcast.
I mean, when there are, like, such gaping holes in the framework of it, like it doesn't look very funny. It wasn't animated very funny. The dialogue wasn't funny. The gags weren't funny. Like, why are we doing this?
I mean, I assume it was made in France and then they brought it over and then, like, you know, just all they had to do was localize it.
Yeah.
You know, probably wasn't that expensive.
Somebody made it, but why? I mean, they got quality voice talent.
They got superstars. Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it's just one of those things like, oh, the French fucking love Jerry Lewis. We don't know why. We this don't is know like why. A different sensibility. Maybe there's a different sensibility at work here, but Jesus, man.
Jerry Lewis always made me deeply uncomfortable as a child.
I mean, look, that's probably why the French love him.
And because of me personally being getting upset by his existence?
Correct.
Great. So many people wish ill on you. So many people out in the world don't even know who you are. They're like, I feel like there's a guy out there that I really wish would have a worse life.
But here's the deal. Like, I only knew Jerry Lewis as a kid from like his older days and the Jerry Lewis telethon. And I have a vivid memory of tuning into it to be like, what's this about? I've heard of this. I'm going to see it. And it was him on stage in front of the camera, dressed like a 60-year-old man would think a 10-year-old boy would wear, with like, you know, short pants and like a suit jacket with like a red and white stripe underneath it and like a goddamn beanie on his head. And he was doing, like, I swear to God, like a 2-minute long monologue about how much he likes his lollipop. And it was deeply upsetting. I think I've realized actually very recently that I get the ick when really old people pretend to be children, or like the plot involves an old person masquerading as a child. I get really uncomfortable by that now.
Yeah, fair. You probably should.
I mean, that's normal, I think. But like,
healthy.
Yeah. But the French love that, and they love Jean Reno and The Professional, and now things are starting to click a little bit for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. But then I saw I saw him in his younger days, and I'm like, oh, he was just the Jim Carrey of his era, literally the same shit.
That checks out.
And I was like, oh, I see why he is popular, because his old stuff was very good. But then what the hell happened? He just became an old PDF file. I don't know.
So what you're saying is that Jim Carrey is destined to be loved by the French and no one else.
He must be loved by the French, right? They got to love who's the guy who played the pink? Peter Sellers. They got to love Peter Sellers. They got to love Jim Carrey. They love Jerry Lewis. We know that.
It's all coming together.
Wow. Speaking of coming together, here's some ads. We'll be right back.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The Sword of Omens, safe in the hands of Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats, fighting to keep it from Mumm-Ra, whose wicked eyes light up with a secret ring. Thundercats take to the Thunder Tank, transforming to resist the evil mutants. Who will win, good or evil? Now you can decide. Thundercats by Rainbow Toys.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
There are no ads right here.
There were going to be ads there, Chan, and you heard them.
No, it isn't.
Welcome back, everybody. There were ads. Don't tempt me. Test me. Don't
test your laziness? Boy, yes. I will do just that.
Chan, it's not laziness. It's incompetence. Get it right.
That is true. He is right on this one. It is 100%.
I actively try. I just don't do a good job.
He's out of line, but he's not wrong.
But he's right. I had somebody at work the other day, and I don't know if they intended to do it or not, but I made a really good point in one of our many meetings, and somebody went out and said, you know what, guys, Ray is right. And I just went,
They get it.
And I don't think they did it on purpose, but if they did, it was even better. Anyway, let's do episode 2 of Space Goofs. This one somehow is wilder, much wilder than the previous one. And I'm not sure. I mean, I'm kind of like, and no offense to Delvin Cox, I kind of would want Gina's opinion on this one.
You know what? As I was watching this, I was like, oh my God. Thank goodness that Gina has not seen this.
That is correct. But also, as a child of the 90s, it reminded me of that one great song. that girl is poison.
Oh, yeah.
The whole episode is literally that BBD song, Never Trust the Big Button to Smile.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the writers of this cartoon do not have progressive attitudes towards women.
Not even a little bit.
And now I'm thinking that Bob Kemp may not have been as much of a creep as John Kay, but he may not have been far off.
So this one, at least, I mean, here's the deal. I felt that the Count Dracula section of our episode did not have a very good through line. I had trouble understanding how we got from the one point to the next. This is at least a very straight shot story that you'll see why, but at the very least, at least it was coherent.
It was something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. So the episode is called First Love, and we're introduced to a lady from the USO. And
they're watching TV.
They're watching TV. They see a USO tour, and there's a woman doing a performance on there. And for the first time, somehow in episode 26, one of them turns to the other and says, "What is that?" And the other goes, "It's a human female." Like, they've never even heard of the concept of a woman before. That's how you know this is a dude cartoon from the 90s.
Well, to be fair, if you listen to how some of these people talk today, they've also never heard the concept of a woman. So,
well, ain't that the case? Yeah. So upon saying they want to do research to discover what these females are all about. And it's always those internet incels who use the word female. Like, yeah.
it's one of those females.
I feel like this is too early for that to have been a thing. And yet somehow it presages the coming of female as a really creepo red flag.
It's like a weird pejorative, and that's weird. I use the word because sometimes you have to describe a character, and that is a very accurate way to describe a character, but I still feel like a creepo when I say it that way. Like, is there no other way I can say that this is a female character? There's not a good one. Other than drop a pronoun in there. And she is a pilot.
Yes.
But that feels forced and stupid. I don't know.
I'm looking through all of the episode synopses before this to see if I can. Because to be fair, the female that they that they're entranced by, and also the other woman that shows up in this episode, is exceedingly buxom, basically boobs, ass, and long hair, and that's it.
Blonde and red hair. Let's go.
Well, yeah. See, blonde for the first one, red for the second one. And I'm looking through. There is an old lady that shows up at one point, because I'm like, if the whole gimmick is that people are showing up at the house, surely there must have been a woman at some point. And I don't think so. Oh, no. Here's one. Someone with a wife. Look, I don't know why I'm like trying to.
You're going the extra mile for this, Chan, and I'm questioning why.
I respect it.
That's incorrect. How dare they? It's fucking bullshit. And I'm just really just trying to avoid having to deal with this gross misogynist bullshit episode.
It is.
It's so super misogynist. Like, it's like it's offensive to me. Like, I'm like, this is terrible.
The thing though is,
love Del Bib DeVoe. So like,
yeah.
I listen to rap music.
Like, not only is this show offensive to women, I think we also loop around. It's also offensive to men too.
Yeah.
No.
Somewhere.
Here's the deal. Two humans have moved in downstairs. They are a couple, and they immediately start like fighting violently.
Yeah, they go from like, "Oh, this is wonderful." Like, we did she say that they just got married or
something to that effect?
Yes.
Am I making that up?
And the thing about it is, it's always the same stereotype: hot girl, ugly fat guy,
very ugly man. Yes,
don't listen.
Very ugly man. They just got married and they get in an argument, and I think the guy leaves.
Well, because she like throws like a vase at him or something. Everybody like go. It progresses very quickly to being something the police should be notified about. Not that you should call the police.
No snitching.
But yeah, so the guy gets kicked out, actually. He gets kicked out of the house. And she's immediately back to normal again. She throws on some lipstick and perfume because I guess she's just going to go out trawling for dick. I don't know.
Well,
she's sitting in her house after throwing out her husband, and she starts getting herself all prettied up.
I would say that comment was offensive, but it's kind of what happened. What's going on in the show? It's baffling. The next, what? This was a 12-minute episode?
Yeah, it's very, very strange. So yeah, so she kicks out her husband. She throws on some lipstick and perfume, looking to attract another mate. I don't know how this relationship works, but inexplicably, the blue one who loves to eat, alien guy, goes into some machine we've never seen or heard of, including in this episode.
Okay, hold on. That is a thing. And your first clue should be that they have like a whole sequence involved in it. When they get into this little machine, a whole thing happens. And then when the next guy gets into it, that whole same thing repeats again. Kind of like when Rambo puts on his headband in the Rambo cartoon. Like, oh, yes. This is a thing we do every episode. It's apparently it lets them turn into whatever they want. So they're turning into humans so that they can, you know, be surreptitious.
Yeah. And the blue guy turns this. I just refer to this as the Chad machine because he turns into a total Chad.
Yes.
He's kind of a suave, a Cesar Romero Latino type character right now. And he just walks downstairs basically to tell her that she's got to go. And she immediately just starts throwing it at him, like hitting on him, like being like, yeah, man, I want some D. And he's immediately into it. He flips on a switch and he's like, oh, damn, I like this.
Yeah, and I'm not going to worry about the biology questions that this raises. If they've never seen a female, clearly they don't reproduce in that fashion. So if that's the case, then why does this work?
Well, not just that, Chan, because we'll have questions about that later and you know why, but how do they themselves identify as male if there was nothing else to compare it to?
That is it's a real good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer here, guys. You know, this cartoon's starting to lose me a little bit.
Starting?
I'm generally on board with this cartoon. This is great.
It lost me as soon as Chad said hit record.
So now the orange one goes into the Chad machine, and he comes out as a biker, and he comes downstairs to check it out, and she immediately starts flinging the boobs at him.
Yeah.
And he's also into it. He's like, oh man, we're doing this.
Yep.
And there's like a weird thing that happens because apparently there's moments where they go away, get back in the machine, and come back as a different caricature.
I didn't understand what that was about.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're pretending to be completely different people? Did they just like get a makeover for her sake? She's like, oh, you know what? I really like cowboys. And there's like, okay, I'll go dress up as a cowboy. Or is it saying that they're coming back as completely different people? And she is just, as Ray puts it, throwing it at them at some completely new guy. So she's got like a dozen dudes on the hook. Because now the biker is a fucking Elvis impersonator. And the two-headed guy is now a fisherman.
So now there's three of them converted into dudes, and she's into all of them. But then they start fighting with each other. So the lady immediately is like, I don't want you guys fighting over me. And she leaves and then, like, immediately comes back again.
Yes. Because like, as the soul poison said,
she moves out. She's already back.
Hold on. because the smart one then comes in and she does the same thing to him. So yes. There, because, oh, wait, shit, does that whole moving in thing? Right. She just she's gone for an unspecified amount of time.
They like didn't comfortably even mention, 10 seconds.
Right. In terms of the show, she's only been gone for a few seconds. In terms of their storyline, like, what amount of time do they think is, she has left forever?
I mean, it's not specified, but it's they end with like a story beat and then immediately just pay off that story beat as if we were like, I don't know, as if like time had passed or a commercial break was supposed to go there, or I don't know, because they just immediately like pay it off and it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Because she just moves back in immediately. The fourth guy now converts, the fourth alien, and he comes down to get some hot toddy. But then, in what is, so the fifth alien decides he wants to get in on the act too. Except the fifth alien makes a different choice.
Yes.
Chen, how would you best put this into words?
Creepy green alien got some tiggle bitties.
Yeah.
The green alien comes down as a voluptuous woman.
And voluptuous woman in the terms of this show.
Yes.
Which is, boy.
And so the four dude aliens want to be all up on their fifth friend, who I don't know if they know it's their friend or not, which is also very confusing.
They do, because they, like later on, they are still there, but no longer with the breasts, but they're still fawning over them.
The last one, yes, the new one.
The green one, yeah.
And so green
has returned to his original shape, and they're still like giving him foot rubs and fanning him with the giant feather fan.
So these homeboys all just fuck each other, right? Like, I mean, pretty like much. They have this machine.
This is what we now know.
Yes.
Well, no wonder they're so chill all the time.
The
why is that one dude so cranky?
They're not fucking him enough, right?
I guess so.
Nobody's giving him the reach around, which is disrespectful in human culture, but in alien culture, you know, maybe it's normal.
Through all of this, the human lady is essentially persona non grata. They don't give a shit about her anymore.
She
leaves and goes and gets back with her man.
She's just like, but can somebody open a jar of pickles for me? And like, oh God. Truly, if Gina were here, we would all be dead.
Yes.
Dead. She threatens to come over and murder us often.
On a weekly basis at this
point. It's not an entirely empty threat. She would not, she would have completely lost her mind, gone to murder us, gone to the governor's mansion, murdered Gavin Newsom and everyone there, all of the men there. She would just go on a then continue on a state by state murdering spree, killing every man she ran across. And I would not blame her in the slightest.
Me neither. I'd root for her.
I would start with the governor, though. He seems very nice.
Nah.
Yeah, that was government. A trap to find out if
he's got
you
his own
were
problems, but
into,
you know, I'm not
the whole Gavin Newsom thing, and you thought that, oh boy, he'd make a real good president next time around.
Didn't say that. At all.
You fell for it.
Uh huh.
But I'm gonna say right now, if my man's on the ballot. No kings, Chan, no kings.
Yeah, no trans people either under Gavin Newsom's administration.
He has made some very regrettable statements in regards to that. That is a fact.
Yeah.
But better than the alternative is what I'm saying. One set of alternatives, I'll say.
So
it goes from regrettable to Holocausty at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that neither are good choices.
Neither are good. One is far worse.
It need
harm reduction, Chan.
How's that been working out for us so far?
We haven't done it. I don't know.
When we did, it did not help.
It was okay for a few years.
The people who are supposed to be reducing harm right now are sitting around on their asses waiting for question mark.
Well, you know,
we're growing.
Who can do what these days?
Maybe. It's fine.
Anyway,
like me.
I don't know if this show properly dealt with the trans issue, but it definitely was a part of this show.
Boy, man, and the alien who was using feminine air quotes feminine human wiles to get the air quotes male aliens to do things continues Malians? To do so, even though the alien no longer has secondary sex characteristics, and doesn't explain how it's all working. Why is this? I hate this so much.
That's what I said about this whole show. Why is this?
But it's not the worst thing we've ever seen.
It's not real bad. It's real
but
bad.
It's not good.
It's not Beast Wars bad. I mean, let's start there. Not a single fart joke with robots.
My bar is now lower than Beast Wars. We have seen worse things since.
What do you think is the worst thing we've ever seen? We've had a lot of episodes.
That's
a hard question.
I don't think Beast Wars is the worst thing you ever watched.
I don't know. It's visually maybe the worst thing we've ever watched. Outside of maybe you would say the Crash Test Dummies cartoon was a little rough. But thematically it wasn't very good either. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know that Beast Wars is the worst thing we've ever seen. But bottom five, quite possibly.
Definitely bottom five.
Yeah.
Sorry, all you lovers of Beast Wars. But that's how we're ending the show. Go home.